The following is a lecture entitled Transcendental Art, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on November 26, 2016, in Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
So, my beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is introduced to us Vedic culture in all of its aspects. There's the philosophy, there's the lifestyle, there's the architecture, there's the music, there's the art, drama, there's politics. The Vedic culture encompasses everything. There's a Vedic version of everything. Medical science, everything. Diet, agriculture. The Vedic culture is all-pervading, so art is one of its aspects. Somebody will... Who has the controller to flip it? You're doing that? You're the screen flipper. So we're going to look at some wonderful paintings. The original paintings of ISKCON were done directly under Prabhupada's supervision. He oversaw what the artists were doing. There was a whole art department set up originally in our Boston temple. My god sister Jadarani and other girls, and then also Bharat Raj Prabhu, a very expert painter. There was a whole art department there producing the paintings for our books. So now we can, okay, next. This painting shows, on one hand, on the upper portion, you see the spiritual world with Radha and Krishna. The cows, the peacock, the Jamuna River, or some stream coming off of Govardhan. And below you see the material existence. And Lord Brahma is seated there in the middle. They're on the an asana there. There's different aspects of the Vedic civilization, Vedic culture, Vedic hymns, liberation, so many aspects are there. You can see it's very entangled. It's an inverted banyan tree. The material existence is very entangling and engrossing thing that keeps you caught up in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes you see in the bottom there's a big alligator or a crocodile down there. Sometimes you become a crocodile, you become this or that. Through the cycle of birth and death, you go through so many species. But when you actually take to the Vedic process of spiritual realization, of realizing your eternal nature as servant of the Supreme Person, then you can regain your original position as inhabitant of the above abode, Krishna's abode, Krishna Loka. Next. Here's a bird's eye view of the universe, actually. Below is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. What happens is that, and there's another Vishnu called Mahavishnu, Karanadakshay Vishnu. He's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, many times removed from Krishna. He lies down in a corner of the spiritual world and goes into a sleep called Yoga Nidra. And in that sleep, that mystic slumber, whenever he exhales, millions and billions of universes come out from him. And in each and every universe, another unexpanded form of him called Garbhadakshay Vishnu is manifest. So here you're seeing our particular universe and our particular Lord Brahma, who has only four heads. The other universes are much bigger than ours, and there the Brahmas have 40 heads, 400 heads, 4,000 heads, 40,000 heads, etc., in order to be able to accomplish their duty as Brahma. But since we have a very small universe, our Brahma has only four heads. In the bottom of the universe, there's actually an ocean of Garbhadak water, and Lord Vishnu lies down in the bottom half of the universe on a couch of the Ananta Shesha. It's an incarnation of God also, the serpent incarnation. He lies down on a serpent couch, and from his navel comes forth a lotus flower from which Lord Rama is born. And then Lord Brahma was our particular Brahma that we have right now, who's actually there sitting on that lotus flower right now. If we had sufficient means, we could travel out there and see Lord Brahma, but we don't have sufficient means. Our modern day spaceships aren't suitable to carry us all the way to Brahmaloka. But Lord Brahma first appeared in the beginning of this universe, which was 155 trillion years ago. And we're very fortunate. He gave us some wonderful shlokas. Mostly they were lost, but the fifth chapter of his book has been retained over trillions of years, actually. Can you imagine? Some teachings are passed down for trillions of years, so we actually have the prayers of Lord Brahma, the fifth chapter of his book, is still available. And you actually get a copy from our society. We have it available for you in Sanskrit along with the English. But Lord Brahma is very wonderfully describing this Supreme Person and developing a loving relationship with that Supreme Person. He describes the abode of that Supreme Person. In this way, we can get, if we carefully study these prayers of Lord Brahma, we get a very clear understanding of the of reality, of what actually is going on that the scientists don't have any access to. Next. Here shows two pathways. There's the upper path and the lower path. One becomes allured by material sense gratification. He falls into envy, lust, ignorance, anger, false prestige, greed, attachment, and pride. Being allured and captivated by material sense gratification, he becomes more and more degraded, actually falls down to the lower species in his next lifetime. However, if one realizes the futility of material sense gratification, because actually the material body is not the actual self, which is the covering of the self, why put all your energy into serving a covering of the self and neglect the self within? This is called intelligence, to have this kind of a realization. And when he has this realization, then he accepts a spiritual master who can guide him in study of the Vedas, in practicing austerity and sense control, and blessing him with spiritual knowledge, so that ultimately he achieves pure love of God and becomes an eternal associate of Radha and Krishna in their transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. Here we see the devotee welcoming everyone. He has one hand up and one hand down. He's welcoming everyone to take to this process. We see one person is taking his offer, another one is being allured by Maya Devi. They're both on the same platform, you see, where it says attachment. One man is stepping up, the other is on his way down. He's being offered a garland by Maya Devi, and he's being allured downwards, you see. So we have our choice. Each one of us is there at that point in the stairway. We can go up or we can go down. Everyone has that choice. So one has to have spiritual knowledge, being educated properly by Vedic study and by the bona fide spiritual master, to understand what are the choices and how you can actually achieve the perfection of pure love of God, even within your present body. Next. Whoa, this is a heavy one. This is a true story, actually, of a personality named Ajamil. He's laying on his deathbed there as an old, old man. As a youth, he was actually a very pakka Brahmin boy, trained in austerity and cleanliness and saintliness. He had all the good qualities of a saintly young boy, very pious, very very good family, all good training was there. But one day he happened to wander into the forest, and he saw a Shudra couple having sense pleasure, sex enjoyment with each other. Lustily, he saw this man lustily embracing a prostitute in the forest, and it disturbed his mind so much. He tried to shake it off, but it had such a strong impression on him, he couldn't shake it off. So he eventually got connected with that very same prostitute that he had seen in the forest, and gave up his wife, his chaste wife, and became a servant of this prostitute. Became very sinful throughout his whole life. But because of his previous pious training as a Brahmana boy, He named his youngest son Narayan, a name for God. So when the Yamadutas are there, these fearsome creatures, for those who are sinful, they come and they grab your subtle body and they rip it out of your gross body to take you to hell for punishment. When he saw these fierce creatures, he said, in fear, he called out for his son. He said, "Narayan! Narayan!" He called out for his son, Narayan. But then the messengers of Narayan, they're called the Vishnudutas, they heard he's calling Narayan, so they came rushing in. And they told these fearsome creatures from Yamaraj's abode that you can't have him. He just called the name of Narayan. You can't take him. There was some argument going on. You can't take him because he just chattered the name of Narayan. And so they finally, they couldn't understand, but they finally relented. They weren't very intelligent in Vedic knowledge. They're just servants of Yamaraj. So they finally got convinced, and he didn't go back to the spiritual world at that time, but he understood how he'd been blessed by Narayan, and he went to Hardwar and meditated, did penance and austerity, and then finally achieved the spiritual world. So this is a very good lesson to become habituated to calling the name of the Lord. This is why in our movement we train our members to chant the Japa Mala every day. You see, it's a regular daily habit. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We become habituated, you see. And it actually works. It's like my wife and I were in a traffic accident one time. We were coming back from preaching up in the Texas Panhandle, and one of these blizzards came in. Maybe it came down from Missouri. I don't know where it came from, but a blizzard blew in. And the roads, there was so much snow, you couldn't get off the road. There was ice and snow. There was a controlled access road, you know, the off-ramps. The off-ramps, because there was so much traffic on the road, you could keep traveling on the road, but you couldn't get off in the off-ramp. Anybody tried to get off in the off-ramp, they got stranded. We saw people stranded in the off-ramps. So anyway, we kept driving and driving, and luckily this highway, they had a gas station right at the road itself, so we were able to gas up. And finally we got to Dallas, Fort Worth area. We went through Fort Worth, and I made a big mistake. Instead of going on the freeway, I decided to take the shortcut. That was a big mistake. The shortcut, a little two-lane shortcut. It's very short, but it wasn't traveled that much. And the thing was actually, as soon as we got on, we found it was iced over. It was total ice, and it had a drop-off on each side, like this. And our car did a 270-degree spin. And it went flying backwards through the air, and it was like death is coming. It went flying through the air, off, and we knew that's it. I was chanting the Shringa. I was yelling out the Shringa, and she was yelling out Hare Krishna at the top of our lungs. We knew this is it. It's all over. No Shringa Dave, Hare Krishna. And the amazing thing, though, there was so much snow, it was like a pillow. We landed on a pillow of snow. The car wasn't even scratched. Can you imagine? Went flying through the air and whoosh, and a pillow of snow. It was amazing. That snow, the car wasn't even scratched. You couldn't see a single scratch on the car. Our heads weren't banged on the windshield. Nothing. It was like nothing had even happened. But we're stranded on the bottom down the road is way up here, and we're way down in there. You see. But some Christians were out there doing the Good Samaritan thing because they knew there was a blizzard. And they were helping people to get back on the road. And so my wife immediately runs up there to wave her hand. So they see us first. And I would say, "What are you doing?" She didn't listen. She tells me she didn't listen to me. She knew what she was doing. She got up there and waved her hands, and they came to us first. We had a little tiny, those little early Toyotas, very light little Toyotas from way back in the early days. And they were able to physically put, about 12 of them were able to physically push the Toyota back up on the road. And we made it in time for the Sunday feast of the temple. But not a scratch. It was just like nothing even happened. It was amazing. But we had, it was a good test for us because we were right. We were facing death. You see, we were facing death. But we were both yelling out the name of God, you see. So this is the advantage of regularly chanting. This japa mala we do, or we train our members to chant the japa mala, is very good training because you never know when it's going to come. You never know. You see, you can be on an airplane. Now the latest threat is drones. You can be on an airplane and suddenly flying a drone near the airport. They're not supposed to do that, but there are people are doing it. They're flying drones by airports. If your airplane hits a drone, you go down. The airplane crashes. Just a little tiny drone can bring down an airplane. You never know when you're flying on an airplane. Somebody may be having a drone, a little drone party that afternoon, and veer into the forbidden. So you got to be. You have to be really. We really have to take this process seriously, which Krishna explains in the Gita. He says, Satatang Kirtayanto Mam. My devotees are always chanting my name, you see. So he advises everyone to get, the temple has the japa mala. You get the japa mala, make it a regular daily practice before you go to your office or your job or your school or whatever it is. Get up in the morning, take your bath. Before you take your breakfast, you chant your japa mala, you see. Learn how to absorb yourself in the name of the Supreme. Next. And here's the wonderful thing. Krishna, I didn't learn this when I was a Christian, you see. I never knew that God was could be a little kid sitting in the lap of his mother. This is the most beautiful thing, to know that God can reciprocates with every devotee according to their desire to serve him, you see. Mother Jasoda, pictured here, this beautiful Mother Jasoda, she had a desire to serve Krishna as a mother. So Krishna said, okay, I will be your son, you see. So Krishna is so personal that he'll associate with you in a way, and this is on the pure level, but right now we can't, we just learn how to serve him faithfully by serving the spiritual master, his representative. But when you actually become a pure devotee, you'll have a completely pure devotee of the Lord, but within your heart will awaken a tendency to serve God in this way or that way, and he'll reciprocate with you. He'll become your son, or become your playmate, become your boyfriend, according to the mood that you have. So this is next. This is a little bit different style. You mean this looks a different style. This is actually Prabhupada, before he came to America, there was some kind of a conference in Japan that he was invited to go to, but he was never able to. So for some reason, he couldn't go with a government clearance, or I forget what the issue was. But he actually took a description of the part of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and wrote what's called Light of the Bhagavad. And he wanted to have a whole series of paintings also done, which weren't done at that time. But later on, one of his disciples, Tamal Krishna Goswami, commissioned a Chinese artist, a very highly qualified Chinese artist, in the Chinese style to do this book, because Prabhupada had planned to go and present this Light of the Bhagavad in the Orient. So it's a very, very nice book. We have that can be ordered also from our devotees. They can get you a copy of this book, The Light of the Bhagavad. It's full of beautiful color plates with all these very nice paintings. The cows that followed Krishna within the forest moved slowly because of their heavy milk-laden udders. But when Krishna called them by their specific names, they at once became alert, and they hastened toward him. Their milk bags overflowed and poured milk on the ground because of affection for him. So you could be Krishna's son. You can also be a cow in the spiritual world. And these are not dumb animals. These are devotees, human beings who have human consciousness, but they have the body of a cow to serve Krishna a particular way. So in the spiritual world, every living being has human consciousness. Even the trees, they all have human consciousness, but they take different forms because they have a desire to serve Krishna in a particular way. As a cow, as a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, a peacock, or even a flute. Krishna's flute is also a person. So everything in the spiritual world is a person. It's, even the blade of grass is a person. So it's a very exciting atmosphere there. And here the cows are giving their love to Krishna by their milk. Next. This is a very interesting story from the Mahabharata and the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Draupadi. If you've studied, and there you see the Pandavas seated there, having lost all their jewelry, lost all their weapons, everything. The Kshatriyas would have, it was part of the Kshatriya culture to have a gambling match. You see Dhritarashtra, the blind king Dhritarashtra, sitting there on the throne. Duryodhana must be there with him. Shakuni had some special dice with mystic powers so they could cheat in the gambling match. But there's a custom amongst Kshatriyas to gamble. So they gambled, the Pandavas gambled with the Kurus, and they lost everything. And they lost their, and then they put up their wife in the gamble, they lost their wife also. So now Duryodhana, he wants to see Draupadi in her naked beauty. So he will disrobe her, make her naked in the assembly, which is completely against Vedic culture. A woman can only be naked in front of her husband and no one else. It's a complete violation of her chastity for her to be seen naked by anyone other than her husband. So now they're going to disrobe her because they completely destroy her chastity, and the Pandavas can't do anything. They're completely frustrated. Bhima's grabbing a club in anger, but he's being held back by Yudhisthira, putting his hand on the shoulder. Don't do this. You can't do it. So what to do? The Pandavas are helpless. They can't do anything. They've lost the gambling match. So Krishna steps in. Actually, what happens is, Draupadi, in the beginning, you don't see it in the painting, she's holding one hand, she's calling Krishna with one hand and holding onto the sari with the other hand. You see? But in that position, they're disrobing her. They're taking off her sari, and she's going to be disrobed in a minute. She realized, I'm helpless. By my strength, I cannot hold a sari on to protect my chastity. So what can I do? Krishna, Krishna. She puts both hands to Krishna. Krishna, save me, save me. And then Krishna gives an unlimited sari. And they're pulling, pulling, just becoming exhausted, trying to pull off her sari. They can never do it. They can never get off her sari because it's an endless sari given by Krishna. They can pull up her, get thousands of millions of yards of silk cloth and never disrobe her. So that's a very nice example of how if you take complete shelter of Krishna, Krishna will give you all protection. Next. Now I have to admit, this is a very special painting for me. I know my disciple put it here on purpose. Because this is the painting. I can tell the story of me in this painting. I was a young spiritual seeker I hadn't met the devotees, I didn't even know about the movement. I was a young spiritual seeker back in 1968 in Denver, Colorado. And I was looking for a means of meditation because I knew I had to become self-realized. Material life just didn't work well for me. Even though I had gone to the university, I was an honor student, made the dean's list, I had all good background, but yet the material life, I couldn't find a niche I couldn't find a place in the material world where I really felt comfortable. So I was looking for spiritual enlightenment, and some friend of mine taught me the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. He wasn't a devotee, but he had learned it from devotees, apparently. So I started chanting the Hare Krishna, and I also picked up an edition of the Gita in the library, which said Krishna says, you offer me your food, your fruit, flower, leaf, or water with love and devotion, I will accept it. So I was wandering in some gift store in downtown Denver, and I found this poster, this is one of the Bridge Basi posters. I found this poster, it said Radha Krishna. I didn't know what Radha meant. I'd heard about Krishna. because there was no mention of Radha in the Bhagavad Gita. I didn't know what Radha meant, but I was really impressed by this girl, whoever she was. I didn't know that how much she loved Krishna. The way she was looking at him was so wonderful. I found Krishna to be very, very beautiful and very, very attractive. That I just wanted to give my heart and give myself to him. And I saw that she had that mood also, and I was very impressed by the mood of this beautiful young girl, whoever she was, I didn't know. But I was really impressed by her mood. Seeing her helped me to develop the mood I needed to have for Krishna. So then later on, I met the devotees and found out a lot more. But this was where it all began for me, was my friend teaching me the mantra, finding out about offering my food, and then finding this poster. So I made an altar with this poster, and I offered my food every day. I would only eat what I offered on the altar, and I would sit and chant Hare Krishna after I offered it to Krishna. So in this way, even if you don't need a fancy altar, or you don't need to have deities, even just a nice photograph, you can make an altar. The whole thing is the love and devotion. That's what really counts. Bhaktya, Krishna says, and with devotion. If you will chant Krishna's name with devotion, if you offer your food to him with devotion, if you meditate on his beautiful form with devotion, then all the magic happens. What is that magic? You actually come back to your original identity. Actually, you may not remember it, but you're an eternal associate of the Lord from the spiritual world. That's who you actually are. You're not a citizen of this world, of India or the U.S. You're a citizen of the spiritual world. You're one of the eternal associates of God, but due to some mistake, you ended up here. Now you need to get back to your original position. You need to take advantage of the Vedic wisdom, take advantage of the bona fide spiritual master, and get back to your original identity you once had before you fell into material existence. So Krishna gives a whole system in the Gita how you can get back to your original identity. Next. That's it? Okay. So are there any questions? Yes. You can help me hear what he's saying. He may amplify it. I'm a little hard of hearing. I have turning up my hearing aid amp here. He can amplify it for me too. No, he didn't go immediately. He was saved from going to hell. He continued to live in this world, and he went to Hardwar and did penances and austerities, and then he went back to God. He didn't go back to God immediately, no. Arjuna, okay.
Yeah. So he followed Krishna's commands, whatever Krishna said. He didn't go to the spiritual world. And the other person, like Ajamil, just by chanting one time.
Actually, Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. He's eternally liberated. In one place, Prabhupada explains he actually stays in this material world to associate with Krishna in all of his different pastimes in the different universes. Arjuna is eternally liberated. He's always a liberated soul, even while he's in this world. He may act sometimes as if he's an illusion. That's so Krishna can speak the Gita. But actually, Arjuna is eternally liberated. He's never a conditioned soul like you or me. He's eternally liberated. He assists Krishna in his leelas here in this world. He's an eternally liberated soul.
And basically, Radharani, it is when we try to understand, her name is not mentioned in Mahabharata. I believe Bhagavad also, Bhagavad Gita doesn't have, even Bhagavad doesn't have Radharani's name mentioned.
So what's he saying?
He's saying that Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam does not mention about Radharani.
Yes.
Yeah,
so she's Sukadev Goswami. Yes, go ahead. No. In other scriptures, she described in great detail. In the Bhagavatam, which is being narrated by Shukadeva Goswami and also Sita Goswami, Radharani is not being described because the narrator would go into so much ecstasy he wouldn't be able to continue speaking. So the whole Bhagavatam can be spoken because Radharani is the most confidential, high-level topic, talking about Radharani. So that the Bhagavatam can be spoken, and there wasn't much. She is indirectly mentioned in one place in the Bhagavatam. Huh? What is that verse?
Aradhana.
Yeah, she is mentioned indirectly, but and there are other Vedic scriptures which she described in full detail. She's not a myth. Radharani is real. Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. He is Krishna in the mood of Radharani.
Brahma Samhita describes that all the gopis are extensions of Radharani.
What is that sloka? Ananda chinmaya ratatmata yahmanasuya praninam pradimalam smanutam upecha lila yatena bhavanani jajat jajashram govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidant Sakis, the embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his ever-blissful spiritual rasa. So according to Lord Brahma, she's not a myth. He describes her 155 trillion years ago. He described her in detail in the Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Text number... let's see what text number...
37.
Text number 30... Chapter 5, text 37 of the Brahma Samhita. You can get that from the devotees if you want and have the verse and read it. Study that verse yourself.
Okay, any... Sukadeva Goswami did not mention about Radharani because if he goes in ecstasy within the 7 days, then Maharaj Parikshit will not be able to hear the whole Bhagavatam.
Yeah, Maharaj Parikshit had been cursed to die within 7 days, and if Sukadeva Goswami had talked about Radharani, he would go into so much ecstasy he couldn't be able to finish talking, giving the whole description. So Radharani is definitely real. And Lord Chaitanya is has Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya, who we worship here in the temple in Kansas City, he's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. You see? The combined form of Radha and Krishna. Krishna in the mood. When Krishna comes... Here's the way of understanding it. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But he notices that his topmost devotee, Radharani, she's actually enjoying more than he is. He may say, how's this possible? I'm the supreme enjoyer in this, my beloved Radha. She's actually enjoying more than me, being my devotee. So Krishna, not wanting to be outdone, he says, well, I will also become my own devotee. I want to know what she is feeling for me. I want to know that feeling. So when Krishna develops the mood of Radharani and the complexion of Radharani, then he becomes Lord Chaitanya. So... Lord, if you tell Lord Chaitanya Radharani is a myth, he won't like that. Because he's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Next.
Krishna or just Vishnu? Why is there so many different expansions of Vishnu, so many different avatars?
God is unlimited. Is God limited or unlimited? Is God limited or unlimited?
Unlimited.
Yes. So therefore, he has unlimited expansion. Just as there's 8,400,000 species, Krishna has an incarnation in every species. Do you know that? In every, just like there's the Matsya avatar, there's Kurma avatar, you know, the fish incarnation, there's the hog incarnation, you know, so many fish, tortoise, hog incarnation. Krishna actually appears in every single species. There's the incarnation of Krishna in every species. There's 8,400,000 at least. That's just the beginning. Different incarnations. In every species, he appears. So because Krishna is unlimited, therefore he has unlimited forms, unlimited different pastimes, and unlimited different forms. Next. Hasmukh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You just mentioned the animal named hogs.
Hog incarnation, yeah.
Okay. Why would Krishna take the incarnation of a hog?
Why do you take the incarnation of a hog?
It's considered very, not very clean animal.
Mm-hmm. What is that pastime of the hog? He picked up the earth?
He has to take because hog can go into the dirty place. And when earth was down into the Garbhoda Kaushan, where it's dirty, so there is no other personality can go. So he had to take hog incarnation to pick up
the earth.
Pick up the hog. And, there was a question just now on Jamil. But when he said Narayan, he was not calling on Krishna, he was calling on his son.
That's right.
And plus he was not pious either.
Because he
has so many sins and he was calling on his son, so why would Dutas come to get him? Because he was full of
sin. He was calling his son, that's right.
Because
there was no offense, he wasn't chanting in any offensive mood. He was calling in a mood of helplessness. The fact is, the name Narayan is Narayan himself. God and his name are one and the same. So even though he was thinking of his son, actually he was chanting the name without any offense. He was just purely calling out the name of Narayan and desperately for help, and that's why they came.
But I do that also. I'm sure many of us do it here also.
That's
it's
very
not
good.
Happening.
That's very good.
But it's not happening.
Well, that you weren't dying in the moment of death. He was the verge of death. If you do it at the time, if you call out Krishna, Krishna at the time of death, you get a wonderful result.
Actually, tell you the truth, I had many wonderful results in a way. And I was saved from accident similar to yours that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Without a scratch.
You were calling out Krishna's name?
I don't remember if I said Krishna or Hare Krishna or Radhe Radhe.
Yeah, well, any of those names are good. Radha or Krishna or Govinda. Any name of God or a great devotee of God, it's all the same thing.
I know I was saved.
Very good.
Totally. Nothing happening.
That's very good.
I had given my vehicle while I was sleeping and nothing happened.
That's very good. That's the proof.
And I was coming out of Hare Krishna temple, the near the town. They told us that I must take prasadam before I leave. I said, I have to drive. I cannot take prasadam because I have to drive. And I can fall asleep. They said, no, you must take prasadam before you leave. I said, okay.
And you did fall asleep.
I did fall asleep while I was driving. I had all my family, my mother-in-law, everybody, and I wake up and my car is going straight.
That's Krishna's mercy.
I dozed off for a little bit.
The name of Krishna is Krishna himself. When you call out the name of Krishna, Krishna personally comes. That's a fact.
Yeah. So it must have been the prasadam that saved me.
It was Krishna prasadam also, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I ran into a similar accident like yours. It was snowing very heavily, and my car was twisting in, like this in circle, and I thought that that's it, I had it. But then it twisted in circle completely, cars coming from both sides, and it parked on an emergency lane, straight, parallel parking, like...
You did a 360-degree spin?
Yeah. Right.
360-degree, and you kept driving in the same direction?
And then clearly parked on the emergency lane, like a very straight parallel parking.
A straight parallel park after that?
Right.
On a highway.
On the highway, that's amazing. Amazing. Just see how Krishna protected you.
Yes.
It's a fact.
So there has been miracles, actually.
Very good.
In that sense, yes.
Yeah, the name of, the more you're habituated to chanting Krishna, the better off you're going to be in all sorts of circumstances.
So everybody should chant Hare Krishna.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Okay. You know, we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with our mouth, and you know, we listen to it, and we're using our material senses, material mouth to chant. But there are others who say that the real chanting is transcendental, which is beyond the material, using material, you know, mouth and all that, and listening materially. It's coming from, there's a rhythm or sound going within us, which is coming from Krishna. That sound that's
coming. No, when you chant, your tongue is spirit. When you chant Hare Krishna, your tongue is becomes spiritual. Anything used in Krishna's service, actually, everything is spiritual ultimately. But when it's used for material sense gratification, it becomes material. When you use things in Krishna's service, they regain their original spiritual nature. So your tongue, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, your tongue is spiritual. When you're hearing about Krishna, your ears are spiritual.
So as soon as you say Hare Krishna, spiritual.
That's a spiritual sound vibration coming from your mouth.
Yes.
That's right.
So it's no more material.
It's not material, yeah. Now, if you chant Hare Krishna for material purpose, you see, that's different. But if you're chanting as a devotee, then it's purely spiritual. Yes.
A couple of years ago, I remember you describing how there was someone asked, sent you an email or something asking you a question about there was like some soccer ball in India. Some new brand had a Vishnu with a soccer holding soccer ball instead of some flower, and you mentioned that that's not actually Vishnu. So there's no necessarily offense for kicking it around with feet.
What is it that he's saying? Stop that. Don't do that feedback thing. You've got to stop doing that.
He's saying that you mentioned sometimes in the past, that in India or somewhere, they were holding up a ball, and it had a name on it, Vishnu, and they were going to kick. So you said that is not Vishnu, but because...
They were
going to
kick the ball?
Yeah.
Like a soccer team or something?
Yeah, it was like a picture. I think you described it as a picture of Vishnu holding a soccer ball or something.
I don't remember that. I heard one time that in Italy they had a soccer team called Balaram, all just by coincidence. And the people would get up there, they'd go, Balaram, Balaram, and they always won the games. The champion team. People chanting Balaram, 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 Balaram.
I guess my question is, when does art become not spiritual?
When does art become not spiritual?
If it's something similar to the
when you use art for Krishna, it's spiritual. When you use it for material purpose, it's material. That's all. What is the purpose?
Just like Jimi Hendrix cut off the the art, he used it for his own purpose. Remember Jimi Hendrix?
Oh, yeah. Jimi Hendrix took a picture of the... This is our famous rock and roll singer from the 60s and early 70s. He took a picture of the Universal Forum. He cut off Vishnu's head and put his own head in Vishnu's head. And his drum player and his bass player, he put them on also as incarnate and cut off two heads and put their heads. And he died very soon after that. He choked on his own vomit in his sleep in a hotel at night. He threw up. He vomited in his sleep and choked on his own vomit after doing that. Prabhupada, they showed Prabhupada that album. Prabhupada said he's calling death very near. So if you use these things for material purpose, it can really backfire on you. You don't cut off the head of Vishnu and put your head as in Vishnu's body, like Jimi Hendrix did. Anything else?
Mm. Again, even though we are in spiritual life, still you are we saw that man is walking down the steps, lust, anger, all those things. It is popping up in our life.
How to deal with it?
How to deal with it? Like,
that's why it's important. We have in sadhana bhakti, we teach you how to conquer all of these things. By taking up regular, we have a very simple process given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It works for monks, it works for married people, it works for everybody. It's a universal process. You chant 16 rounds of japa mala every day, at least 16 rounds of japa mala every day, and you give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. And you take this prasadam only. That's all, your only diet is prasad. So by doing this, it has a very powerful cleansing effect on the consciousness. I've been doing this for the last 45 years, following these principles. I came from a very, as a hippie, I was very, doing all sinful activities as a hippie when I was a youth. But this completely transformed me. In the last 45 years, I've been strictly following these principles and chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day. It has a very powerful impact on anyone who takes it up, as a household or a single person, it doesn't matter. This will actually purify away the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, the envy, which have been polluting us for millions of lifetimes. So if you will seriously take up this process under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, just as what I've done, if you follow it very strictly, you'll get these results. You become a pure devotee of God. The anger will no longer cover you over. Anger, lust, greed, these things will become conspicuous by their absence within your heart, and you'll feel so happy and peaceful in all circumstances. You have another?
Again, we read Bhagavad Gita, we know like we are not the body, we are soul.
Mm-hmm.
Refers the body only. When we realize that I'm not this body, the feeling.
But you're still feeling that you're the body, even though you know you're not.
Yeah, but
that's why taking initiation from the bona fide spiritual master, engaging yourself fully in the service of Krishna under his instructions, will take you to that next level you're looking for. You need to actually accept the spiritual master and become initiated and fully surrender to the orders of the spiritual master. Spiritual life is like a tripod that stands on three legs. If one takes shelter of a bona fide guru, gets initiated, and becomes fully obedient to the spiritual master, then these bad qualities go away. They go away. Shelter, initiation, and obedience. These are the three legs that will give you the solid position on the transcendental platform. Shelter, initiation, and obedience. So that's that works very practical, effective. The scriptures tell us you have to have a spiritual master. Krishna says right there in the Gita, chapter 4, text 34, Tadvidi pradipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam ganinas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So when you actually accept the spiritual master, you become fully subservient to him. Accepting his orders, your life and soul, then you get all these powerful realizations within your heart, and you these qualities just melt away. They go away in due course. It takes time, but it does happen. I can look back at my 45 years and I can see how much I've been transformed by this. And I'm getting every day getting more and more transformed by it. It's getting better and better all the time. Yes. So what is the question?
So what made you do that?
What makes, why is there one person stays and the other one leaves?
Other one fall back, you kept on.
Why some fall back and some keep, what's the difference between those who fall back and the ones who goes forward?
Yes.
It's a matter of faith. Who has complete faith in the order of the spiritual master? Total complete faith. You see.
How to develop that faith?
That faith comes by association. You have to associate and serve those who have faith. Faith is, as I sometimes say, is a contagious disease. You see. You have to find people who have that strong faith. You have to take shelter of them and serve them and hear from them and learn from them. Stick to, find those who have strong faith, unflinching faith, and stick to them like glue. And that faith you will come to your heart also. That's what Diksha's for. You find a spiritual master, one who has unflinching faith in the order of Guru and Krishna, and you dedicate yourself completely to him, and by that dedication you also develop that faith.
So you should have the association of faithful people.
Association of faithful persons.
Exactly. By associating with those who have faith, you will develop that faith.
Confidential. Faith is a
transcendental quality. Transcendental, yeah. Absolutely. The whole thing begins on faith. Rupa Goswami describes in detail the process of spiritual perfection. The whole thing is based on faith. Shraddha is the foundation. If you don't have faith, you don't go anywhere. And the first thing is you have faith, and then you associate with devotees. That's the second step. Devotees mean those who have faith. That increases your faith. And then the next step is you get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. And then by following his instructions, these anarthas, the lust, the anger, the greed, they start to go away from your heart. And then you become, you achieve what's called anartha nirvritti, where these qualities are almost gone. They're reduced almost to nil. Then you achieve, that's called anartha nirvritti. And then you go to the next stage, it's called nishtha, that's firm faith. The first, the shuddha is preliminary faith. This seems like a good thing. I want to give it a try. You see, these devotees seem like good people. The knowledge sounds good. It's called preliminary faith. Let me give it a try. And then as you practice it, then you finally get to nishtha. Your faith is pakka faith, you see. You become very, very solid faith. Nishtha. Solid faith comes. And then after your faith is solid, then you go to higher stages. The next stage is called ruchi. But then you experience so much nectar in chanting the name of God, you could chant for millions of years and never get tired. You find unlimited nectar just by going Krishna. You experience unlimited oceans of nectar just by vibrating Krishna, you see. That's called ruchi. And then from there you go to asakti with the pure love of God. You become a completely pure devotee of God. And then you actually realize who you are in the spiritual world, And then you go further until those emotions begin to manifest of your eternal relationship with Krishna. And then you finally become fully established in that relationship with Krishna. That's called prema. So it all begins with faith. Preliminary faith, it turns into mature faith by association and surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. I'm doing that every day in my writings. I have a course called the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. And if you just go to joincourse.com or backtohome.com, either one, you can sign up and every day you'll get something. I do a video every day and I give a question and answer every day and I give a write-up every day about some realization about Krishna consciousness. So it's there every day. Certainly I can share something. I carry within my heart my spiritual master. That I carry his instructions within my heart, personal instructions I got from him. One very powerful instruction I got from Prabhupada, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So I know that I had the potential of actually being able to directly see God within me, in front of me. I'm not there yet, but I know I have the potential that my spiritual master's instructions is actually Krishna is there in front of all of us, but he's out of focus right now. We're blinded, you see, by the material nature. But as you develop a mood of complete devotion to Krishna through following the instructions of the spiritual master, that natural ability to see God starts to manifest more and more. It's like the sun rises early morning. You don't see it immediately, but it becomes a little brighter, and finally you actually see the sun. So it's becoming brighter for me. I'm not seeing Krishna yet, but it's becoming brighter. You see? The whole world is becoming brighter for me. I can see everything in relation with Krishna. You see? I see everything as his energy to be. So my mission in life is to make the whole world Krishna conscious, because I see how there better be suffering without Krishna consciousness. The whole world is suffering without Krishna consciousness. So the whole purpose of my life is to affect my own consciousness to where I can actually see and experience Krishna face to face. And on the one hand, that's the internal side of it. And externally, to actually be able to have a powerful impact, to completely educate the entire world in the science of Krishna. To attract the whole world to Krishna is my goal. Horrible.
All the things that are going on,
it's horrible what's going on in the world. It's a nightmare. And the whole social order is disintegrating. More and more, gradually disintegrating. There was a poet, Yeats, who actually wrote a very good poem in this connection. It's called The Second Coming. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, a mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. That's where we're heading. Anarchy, complete anarchy. The whole social order is breaking down because they're kicking out God. Everywhere they're kicking out God, you see.
So this does not affect you or bother you?
Huh?
This does not affect you or bother you? What's going on in the world?
This does not affect you or bother you?
I'm completely disturbed about it. If you ask me how I'm doing, I say I'm really disturbed. I'm very, very disturbed with the world situation.
Fathers, that's why you go around the world preaching.
I'm on a mission to make the world Krishna conscious, because I can't stand to see what's happening right now. The whole social order is disintegrating everywhere. I mean, just look at the whole, in this election, I've never seen so much violence in an American election in my life. So much hate and violence in this election. This place is, this, the social order is disintegrating here, gradually more and more. They're shooting police dead. It's just, I've never seen such a thing. I've never seen such a thing. You see? It's disintegrating. Awaken your Krishna consciousness and then tell, and share Krishna with everyone. That's the way. But here in the Singha, Hridaye Nisinga, we sing every morning in our Nisinga prayers. Nisinga within, make your heart, make yourself Krishna conscious within and then spread it with everyone you meet.
The spirituality is not the answer.
Hmm?
Got it.
What is it?
Spiritual life is the only answer.
Spiritual life is the only answer.
There's no material solution because the basic problem is spiritual. The basic problem faced by the entire human society is a spiritual problem. They've disconnected from God. There's no material solution for the problems in the world. The politicians are trying to solve it materially. It will never work. United Nations, material. European Union, material. All this stuff is simply material. They will never solve the problems. Actually, they're creating more problems by their mismanagement. But when, if they can take guidance, if the political leaders can take guidance from us, you see, how to put God back in the center. It's not that they promote Hinduism or this ism, but the basic principle of love of God, which is applicable to Christians, Hindus, Jews, Muslims, etc., that principle has to be taught. That principle has to be introduced in every level. And the court system, the legislative system, the executives, in every branch, this consciousness of God must be there, that we must serve God. That has to be introduced in every government. The Indian government, the Pakistani, every government in the world has to understand what it means to purely serve God, and that is the highest necessity for every living being. It's the only solution. So we're trying to train the world leaders in this connection. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantarvichtati. This is the formula for peace given by Krishna. He says, one who knows me as the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, and the supreme friend can have perfect peace. So the world leaders don't know this. They don't know this. Who is the actual owner? Who is the actual enjoyer? Who is the best friend? They're ignorant. So how they can lead anyone? They're not qualified. They can't even guide their own family properly, you see. So we Hare Krishna people, our mission is to educate the whole world. Bhaktaram jagatapasam.
So we all as an individual have a role to play, actually, positive role to play, right? We all as an individual.
Hmm?
We all as an individual have a positive role to play. We can make a difference.
We are all individual and we have a positive role to play.
If we work together as a team, we can conquer the world.
So we can make a difference.
One stick you can break very easily. But a bundle, no. That's why we want everyone to work together with us. Let's work together as a team to make this whole world Krishna conscious. That's our request to all of you in this room tonight. Please be a part of our team for Krishnizing this planet. We're begging you, please, we need your help. Please work with us, dedicate your life to help us, whatever capacity, whatever talents you have. Please help us by utilizing your talents and your facilities to help us make the world Krishna conscious. We're begging every one of you to help us.
It's like Raja Dasharatha, who was father of Rama. And even though he was king, he listened to his Guru Maharaj, Vasishtha, right? His Guru Maharaj was Raja Dasharatha. Sister Muni, and whatever he said, even though Dasharatha was a king, what Vasishtha
in Vedic culture, said, the guru is the king has a guru,
right,
Brahmana.
Right.
The Brahmins actually rule by guiding the king how to rule the country. The Brahmins actually rule, but they don't take the throne, they don't take the opulence. They live in the forest in humble sages, but they guide the king how to rule, and the king follows the Brahmins. That's Vedic culture. That's right.
And what he said was final, actually.
Yeah. So we don't want to be king or president, but we want to guide these people. We want to guide these people how they can run their governments properly.
And that's what happened.
They're not listening to us. You see. They're not taking our guidance.
That's 16 round for your food and 8 prasadam.
Yes.
Please do that. The simple act.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna. So it looks like our time is just about up. Huh?
Yes, good.
8 o'clock. Okay, so we now there's some refreshments. And also my book is here. There's a Bhagavad Gita and my book Truth Works is here. And there was a one couple who were getting married, I think. They wanted...
Can we do some chanting?
I don't know. Do we have time for kirtan?
Time for chanting.
All right. We'll do a little more chanting then. Yes, now my wife will lead the kirtan. Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi.
You want the money?
Yeah, I'll take the harmonium. Thank you all very, very much. Hare Krishna.